The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is for you. This is for you and me and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
Hey there. I couldn't resist. I've been listening to this song. For so many years, I've never gotten tired of listening to Ben sing. He wrote this especially, actually, for Waking Up in America. So, that's your first clue. You're listening to Waking Up in America, and we're presented by Mary Louise Zeller, 20 times gold medal taekwondo champion. Every time I read that, it's like, 20 times, really? Yes, really. 20 times in a row. Informs an international Kayani distribution agent. And I understand she's number one in the world now, too. So you heard her on the show last week. And we're so pleased to have her around. Who's with me today? It's Louis Constantine. It's Randy Shannon. And we've been chatting before the show and just really taking a look at prayer. I was talking with a friend about prayer, and there's just so much misconception about prayer. And maybe we could put a title in there with also having what it is that you want in the world. Like, how does one actually access that? You can access that through a spiritual world. You can access what you want through a linear world. There's just all kinds of possibilities on that. What we're going to be looking at today is the dialogue on what is prayer, how does it work, does it work, things of that nature, and what about the Bible. So, Randy, by any chance, do you know much about the Bible, or do you, Louis?
Good question. Let's see.
You know where...
There was a time,
yes?
Because I grew up learning all about the stories from the Old Testament and read large segments of the Bible when I was growing up. So I probably have some recollection, but it's not a part of my main meal today.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, in my 20th year, I decided that I wanted that a lot of people had a spiritual practice, and I wanted to know which was the best, you know. So a bunch of my friends, it ended up being three of us at the end, Naomi and Caressa and myself. We ended up going to over 20 churches in 1 year. And I actually thought it was over 30, but Naomi thinks, looking back, it was only like under 30. So anyway, to make a long story short, we went to a lot of churches, and we went to the Black Baptist Church, and we went to a Greek Orthodox Church, and a regular Catholic Church, and a Science of Mind Church, and a Christ the Scientist Church, and one of them was on Saturday. Would that be the Latter-day Saints?
Seventh-day Adventist, maybe?
Is it? Yeah. Anyway, we did them all, okay? And
I've always wanted to do that.
Well, it's one of the coolest things you could do, and if you live near me, we could go do that, you know?
Hmm. Yeah,
it's really, really, really interesting because what we were looking for is, you know, what's the difference between them? Okay.
Yeah.
The Greek Orthodox were the most rigid. In fact, if you were a woman, you weren't allowed in the front part of the church if you were menstruating, for instance. I thought that was pretty interesting, and at first I thought it was sexist, which it probably is. But when I talked to the I think they were fathers too, when I talked to the father about it, he said it was because when women are menstruating, they're so powerful. Isn't that an interesting concept?
And I don't feel powerful when I'm doing that.
Well, they perceive, and there is something in the culture about menstruation blood being used in rituals and things like that, if you start to look into the histories of these churches. I also did a lot of work with the Kundalinis and visited Kundalini temples. I've also been in the Taj Mahal, which is a very spiritual experience. And in fact, I sang in the Taj Mahal, and I could hear my, the notes I was singing rolling around the inside of the dome. And if that wouldn't make you think there was that you're related to God in that moment, boy, nothing does. I stood at the foot of Buddha on Lantau Island and experienced the power of Buddha. What I got out of this is that they're all portals to a higher power. That we all see things in a different way. How many different divisions of Lutherans do you think there are? I mean, I know there's Missouri Synod, you know. There's all these different even Lutheran organizations, and I'm sure the Catholics are the same way. So we don't have a Catholic or a Jew or a Muslim. We have one idea of them in our mind, don't we usually? I mean, don't we have a way that we kind of think Muslims are a little dangerous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether you want it or not, it's in the conversation of our culture. So what I want to do is I want to be able to stand next to my Muslim friend and my Jewish friend and know that we're probably looking in the same place, though we may be using a different language, something of that nature. So I was curious what your experiences are, too.
Well, I've always wanted to do what you did, but back to the menstruating thing, because I never thought that that would ever be a topic we would discuss, but it must be like a male rule, because I feel so powerless. You could just cut me off from the lower belly down for about 3 days and cut my head off, too, because I get a mad headache, so that is not power.
It didn't feel powerful to you.
No.
Well, there are cycles.
Like that rule.
There are cycles in the body.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting that was the Greek Orthodox conversation. I didn't tell you which church I liked. Oh, by the way, I love the Episcopal Church. Why do you think that might be? Besides their wonderful sense of ceremony and tradition.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Because their ministers, their fathers, they actually get to have families and be normal people. They don't have to be celibate.
Yeah, that's
okay, nice. Catholic Church, look at all of them. Gosh, we are the center of pedophilia here in Los Angeles, I think. The number of cases that are being settled by the Los Angeles Diocese, it's horrendous, okay? I saw it actually a very funny joke this week. My son told me I've got to tell the joke better than I do. I was, like, extracting from a much longer joke. But the bottom line of it is these monks are deciding to go back to the originals. They've been copying documents for centuries, and they've been using a copy to copy their documents from, and they hand-scribe the documents. So one of the monks says to the other monk, you know, here we've been copying these documents for absolutely centuries, and what if somebody made a mistake from the original? And the guy said, no, it never happened. And he goes, I think we should go back and we should take a look at the original. And so they go down and they unlock this room that's got the original in it. Nobody's been in there for over 200 years, whatever. And they go in and the other monk goes to get a cup of tea, and when he comes back, the monk that he's left in the room is like slamming his head into the wall saying he can't stand it. And he says, what is it you can't stand? And he says, we left out the R. Out of celebrate. What happens if you take the R out of celebrate?
Wow.
So people that take all of this literally, you can't take it literally. You cannot. How many versions of the Bible do you think there are, Lewis?
Well, I have no idea how many actual versions there are. Do you have a definite number?
No. I just know that you know, in November of 2011, that National Geographic did an incredible study on the Bible and the history of the Bible. It actually predates Jesus. I didn't know that.
Well, segments of it do, because segments of it do predate Jesus. So, you know, by a significant amount of time, I think the thing that you're kind of getting at, or at least one way of looking at this, and the thing that troubles me about religion in general, and I say this respectfully,
this is all respectful.
I grew up in the Christian church, and actually, the denomination that I was raised in was Mennonite. That was a Mennonite mission church that came to the South Bronx.
What do the Mennonites stand for?
The main thing that Mennonites are known for, first of all, the Mennonites are part of the Anabaptist tradition. So that is that they separated from Christianity in its form that required infant baptism years ago, you know, centuries ago, with the idea that one had to be able to make a conscious decision about what one was going to do. And so they
Wow, that's really very powerful.
Yeah, so they felt that baptism should take place as an adult. And so that's really the origin. There are other Anabaptist groups, but I think the Mennonites are most known globally for two things. One is for pacifism. So they're conscientious objectors and don't participate in the military or in war. But will rather do voluntary service for the same duration of time that someone might be drafted into the military. And the other thing is that they have a huge global presence, global outreach in terms of helping the developing world and helping victims of natural catastrophe. So there's an enormous... so that's the denomination that I grew up in. I also spent some time in United Church of Christ and Episcopal Church. But there was a time when I gave up the practice of Christianity, not because I think it's a bad practice, but because in my own mind, growing up, even as a youngster, even as a child, and certainly as an adolescent, I always felt that there was something incongruent about the way that the story was presented in the church, or in the churches, and what I felt was the actual individual and message of Christ. So at some point...
What do you think was the message of Christ?
Well, I think that it depends on how far you look. I mean, certainly the message globally, or grossly, if you will, is one of love and acceptance, as opposed to divisiveness. And the problem with religions and denominations is that there's so much focus on the external and on not accepting and only accepting and really having communion with people of the same faith or denomination. So there is an ecumenical movement, of course, but still I would say that there's more barrier and separation. But I think I may be wrong about this, but as far as I can tell, if you look at all of the religions and you look at the mystics, you find that they all quote this thing, which Jesus and others have said, and that is that the kingdom of God is within you. It's not inside you. And so it doesn't matter if you're looking at someone like Rumi, you know, or you're looking at someone like, I think it was St. Teresa of Avila, those individuals, you will find that they all have the same kind of experience. Not exactly the same, but they all went to the same place, and that is sorely missing from the teachings, I think, of most of the major religions, where people congregate and they focus on outward things and what's common between us, as long as we're within this little domain. But a huge inability to accept equally the value of anyone else. So I have a bit of a hard space within me about that, and so I think people have to choose for themselves what fits best in their life.
And how it works, you know. For me, it works to be Christian.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean I don't love everything else. I mean, that I don't get something from everything else. But I had to come up with a set of rules to live by, okay? And the clearest ones for me were the Ten Commandments. If you take the Ten Commandments and then you put kindness in your heart, which is what I've worked on. Somebody told me yesterday I was really cute, you know? And I said, I've worked very hard at being cute. I said, I wasn't always, and I wasn't always. I was a punk. My mom, she had her hands full because I was one of those kids that wanted to know why everything worked and how it was working, and if you didn't talk to me respectful, I'd leave home. And I remember once leaving home, you know, and being like 5 or 6 miles away from the house when they came to get me, and I wasn't going back. I planned on sleeping under an orange tree somewhere. So, you know, when I was 4 years old and they were giving me this stuff about how I had to eat my spinach because the kids in Europe were starving, you know, I don't know, you didn't have to listen to that one, but I did, and I had to eat this and I had to do this and I had to do the other thing. I had a nickel a week allowance at that time, and I took my nickel one night when they started in on it again, and I planned this, and I smacked it down on the table, the dinner table, and I said, look, send it to Europe. Here's the postage. And before you send me to my room, I'm leaving. I'm going there first, and you can let me know what you want to do with me in the morning. That was it.
Oh,
4 years old.
They must have been laughing.
No, they weren't laughing.
They weren't cracking up at that? I would be cracking up inside.
Well, maybe they weren't. I never saw it. I went to my room, and I didn't come out till the next day, and I felt totally vindicated, and it was the best bet nickel I'd done in my short life. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the Catholic Church, not in the Catholic, I love church. I love communion. I loved, you know, studying the Bible. I liked the stories. The whole thing, and I loved my pastor, Pastor Nobes. He was terrific. And every Sunday, he would do this thing about how we're not good enough to pick up the crumbs from under God's table. Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Well, I listened to that. And finally, I stood up on the pew. Jesus, I stood up on the pew, and I said to Pastor Nobes, you know, I don't know much. I'm young. But I definitely know I'm good enough to pick up crumbs from under God's table, and I know that everybody else here, too, is probably willing to do that. And if you're going to stick to that story, I'm leaving. And everybody was stunned. I got down off the seat, and I walked down the aisle, and I was headed out the church door when the father came running after me. Mm-hmm. And he said, we'll talk about it. It's not what you think.
How old were you?
I think it was 8 then or 9. But it takes me a long time. I'm a slow boil, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But once I boil, I boiled. And that's just how it was. And, you know, when I left home was, I think the whole thing that I wanted to leave home, I left home because they wouldn't let me set off the fireworks. They wanted me to wait till dark. And I wanted to light one sparkler. And I thought that they could give me one sparkler. So I fight for important things.
You definitely gave everyone signs of what you were going to be later in life now.
Right. So, but to do the fighting that I've done, and you know, I'll be 74 this year, and to stay in one piece, I found out it's easier to, quote, fight when you're loving and adorable and generous.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to fight from that position. It really is, and it's not really a fight. It's just like, oh, because when we say, look, I need to do it this way, and my rule about life is that if it doesn't harm you or it doesn't harm me, why not?
Mm-hmm.
If there's no harm to breaking a rule, why not break that rule? Now, it's gotten me a ticket on more than one occasion, that conversation, mm-hmm. because I made a left-hand turn onto Pacific Coast Highway at 5 in the morning with nobody there, right? And turned out there was somebody there, a policeman.
Yeah, one.
But to me, a traffic signal in the middle of the night with nobody there, what's the harm? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that actually fits in Erickson. So, I don't know. I find the Ten Commandments a good thing. My girlfriend told us how to tell what Janet, Rosalind, this is for you. genital lucers were all over. I said, what am I going to do? I've been to all these 20 churches, and I've done all this, and I've done that. And she goes, Val, if you want to know who you are, what do you say when you swear? Do you call, I say Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And so I guess I'm a Christian, I thought. You know, why fight it? I've been trained like that. I don't need to follow the rules as specifically as a particular church lays it down. Do I go to a place? When you go to those cathedrals in Europe, it's like you are in the presence of God. Have you been in those European cathedrals, those ones that are 1,000 years old? Have you ever been in Notre Dame?
I've been in one that was just amazing up in Scotland. Went to church up there.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the space that everybody's trying to get in. That's what we want. Can you get that through prayer? You bet. But you know, the problem is people think prayer is getting down on your knees and begging God to give you something. Prayer is, in Aramaic, means to go out. It actually means to trap that which is yours. Direct translation. The problem with the Bible, and it is a problem, is that it was translated from Aramaic into Greek and into a couple of other languages, and then it was rewritten by 50 men, you know, back in the time of King James.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, and they don't all see things the same way.
Well, that's just one problem.
Yeah.
The problem also has to do with the highly selective culling of what those written pieces actually looked like, you know, before the Council of Nicaea and the
yes.
So you know, the change in the content to achieve very specific goals, which actually resulted in a much more limited version. Of what spirituality might look like.
Interesting.
And the piece that's where mysticism, you know, and where the individual path to God, as opposed to the corporate path, if you want, I'm going to put it that way.
The corporate path to God. I never heard anybody say that. I never heard them put corporate and God in the same sentence.
Because that's really what many, if not all, in general, I think, you know, much of religion has resulted in basically that, you know, model. If you are honest about how the organizations have formed and what becomes the major focus, very much like corporations. And so, but it's corporate. I mean, we're talking about people getting together and then seeing how they can sustain their particular idea and belief and maintain it against the fact that, regardless of what's happening as, you know, as a whole globally. And so I think the individual path, you know, the inner path where individual responsibility and choice, I think that was lost. And I think that's something that would be good for us to get back to.
Yeah, I think so too, especially in this world where people have to work two jobs to stay alive. There's not much room on the rat track for spirit to get in, you know? You actually have to have a certain desire and a welcomingness and a openness. I have had existential moments flying on the plane to Mary Louise's and Ron's celebration of their 30 years of their marriage and then both of their birthdays.
Which plane was this?
American Eagle from... I was also
joking.
Very. In, I was also
the astral plane.
I know you're just
plane?
Such a smart ass. I was on a different plane. No kidding. I'm telling you, I managed to. By the way, they very generously upgraded me to first class. Because I told them I'd mention them on the radio, and if you recall, I did, and they were terrific. Okay, and
wow.
First class was pretty empty, so they put me in first class.
I'm going to pull that one, Val. That's awesome.
Well, they don't always do it, so you have to be real light about it. I mean, it just was the circumstances, and if their circumstances are there, do it. Because this is actually one of the benefits that people get from being in the media, and that's that's another point. You know, people come up to me all the time and say, well, how do you get what you get? I decided where I wanted access. And then I went and I got access, and I did that years ago. You can get it as a photographer. You can get it as a writer. It gives you certain accesses. Being a talk show host gives you certain accesses. Being a movie producer, being an actor, you know, those are people that are recognizable. There's just all kinds of ways of getting access. It's not, it is magic in a way, but in another way it's not. And what's interesting is people have all kinds of things available to them that they don't realize are available, and they're actually, they don't use them because they don't know they have them. And that's part of what I'm hoping will wake up with our listeners today, because prayer means to go out and get that which is yours. Who are you authentically, you know? What's your dream? What's your desire? There are ways to do that. That's why we hire coaches. I spend a lot of money and a lot of time on seminars and in coaching so that I can get the part of me that I really like to see motivated. And part of what we're doing right now is we're on a campaign to let more people know that waking up in America exists, because one of the things we hear is that we're the best kept secret in town. Well, it's about to change. So you are listening to Waking Up in America with Val Kirkgaard here, with the charming Randy Shannon, and the very wise Lewis. I feel you're being very wise today, Lewis. And we're here at the grace of Patricia Bragg's apple cider vinegar drink, which, by the way, I have sent an email and asked them to ship to all of us, and that includes Mike, because we ran out of our shipment. So Patricia Bragg's apple cider vinegar rocks, and it's really, really, really healthy for your immune system, as well as Sir Jason Winter's tea. And the weather is cold in California, so my tea's right over here on the desk, and I just totally like having my tea. Then we have the blood purifier, Protandim, and you may not be able to see it at work, but after time you can sure feel it, that it has worked. All of these things that I'm mentioning are actually, they're hot linked over at wakingupinamerica.com, and you can just go down the page and you can just click on them, and then you can end up in these different places. Then we have the Koning Company, which is actually a 5,000-year-old process that is being done to this day, and I manufacture the cones for it through a guy named Sako Nazarian. He's wonderful. He's been my cone maker for years. I used to make them myself. Sako makes them now. We have our cones are being shipped all over the world. And they're rose cones. They're just deliciously good and very effective. The rose oil gives them a very high frequency. So you can check that out. That's good for cleaning your eustachian tube and pulling out all the stuff that your body has been processing, like chemtrails and chemicals in your food and stuff. Your body has to process it, and the eustachian tube is one of the places that it tries to expel the trash that it's been collecting. We've got Randy Shannon's 42action.org, and she's trying to expel some trash too. She's trying to expel the grip of the bankers and the buggers. We'll call them bankers and buggers that have a grip on the American people, and she's got all kinds of clever things. We'll have to get her to talk about a little bit about that after the... actually, I want to find out about your cotton candy. In case you think we're too serious over here, get over it. She's making cotton candy. We've got Aqua Chi. Okay, Aqua Chi is a footpath detoxifier. I said, gosh, this stuff is just like amazing. I don't know how people figure it out. And you put your feet in the water with this little equipment that comes from Aqua Chi, and not only do you get toxins out of your body through the soles of your feet, you do this often enough, and you like start to sparkle because it energizes your cells. Aqua Chi. And check out the telomeres, I think I said that right, that's over there too, that works on extending your life and making your little DNA cap strong and healthy again. While you're doing all of this, you can be having some El Pinto salsa, and I believe that El Pinto actually has a 50% off coupon on their website. They did last week, so you're going to have to go over and check out elpinto.com, because Jim Thomas Rocks and his brother John have taken over the family restaurant years ago, and the thing is humongous and elegantly run and just absolutely perfect. So visit El Pinto Restaurant in Albuquerque. It's actually a destination restaurant. And boy, is that salsa good stuff. And it's in your Ralph's supermarket as well as other places. We have Marketing with the Stars with Raw, who sends out 100,000 emails for you at an incredibly reasonable rate. Check him out and let him know you heard about it on Waking Up in America. You want to really get a word out cheaply to a good group of people. Also visit drvalerie.com and you can find out about the emotional clearing process. I know how to discharge memories from childhood, and it's powerful stuff. I know how to alter conversations that have been passed down to you in your DNA that don't even belong to you. They actually were some relatives. It's fun. And they're actually, the charges of your relatives in some cases are actually still in your DNA. So you can call me at 310-455-8623. Once again, that's 310-455-8623. And set up a demonstration for yourself. I'm happy to do that for you, no charge. We have the Galactic Federation, and according to Sheldon and Colleen, the landings should be coming soon. The extraterrestrials are being, the spaceships are being seen in more and more places. They were showing us pictures of that. We learned last month about Sheldon's childhood on the ships, and just very interesting man, Sheldon Neidl, and his life partner, Colleen. They do a monthly broadcast, and if you want to know more about that, there's a link for that as well. We also have ever-popular Louis Constantine has Feel Better with Kayani.com, okay? Just yesterday, somebody asked me how I keep my horrendous schedule, and this last 3 weeks has been horrendous, okay, as far as requiring, you know, sitting, buying cars, being in accidents, doing, it's the most intense seminar of my life probably this last few weeks. And I just smile and I say, it's Kayani. That's how I do it. It's really Kayani and Protandin. Because when I take away one or the other, I lose what I've got. Mm-hmm. But when I take them both, I just keep unbelievable hours. I accidentally woke up at 3 this morning. Okay. Accidentally woke up and said, what am I doing? I'd set the clock ahead without realizing it when I was setting the alarm. There I was, wow. 3 o'clock in the morning, zipping around the house. That was not who I was 10 years ago. If you see pictures of me 10 years ago, you'll see something, you'll see, oh, well, it looks like that. Is that your grandmother? You know, people will ask me, no, that was me 10 years ago. So,
wow.
It's not all downhill, folks. Aging is
such
if you
good
don't.
Vision.
Pardon?
Floating through the house, I don't know.
I know, it's like, oh, what am I doing? It's 3 in the morning, for God's sakes. I didn't even know, and for quite a while, I was all ready to go. And then we have Brooke Peterson, who's got just wonderful stuff. She's got alkaline restructured water. She's got these pain things that you stick on that seem pretty good. I think you would benefit by talking with Brooke. She also knows about raw food and things like that. She's just one of the most interesting people I've ever met. Her telephone number is 561-628-1845. That's 561-628-1845. And she lives in Florida. So you can call her right now if you're on the West Coast, and it's later. You want to tweet me? You can go to dr.valkirkgaard, and that's with two A's, KIRKGAARD at Valkirkgaard 1. And join the conversation with us. I'm working to get one set up for the radio show, so we'll be doing that. You're on the air. You're listening to Waking Up in America with Valkirkgaard, Louis Constantine, and Randy Shannon. So, Randy Shannon, what's this cotton candy thing you're doing?
Yeah, I'm not all serious all the time. I actually have a business partner in this deal, and the company is called Fluffy Maple Puff Puff. And we're going to franchise this.
Were you smoking anything when you thought of that?
Just that great. You know, it's funny because people do come by the vending tent and say, oh, yeah, we know what you were doing when this came up, because the logo is just so dang cute, and it just kind of reminds you of that. But no, none was being smoked when that concept was formed. But it's so incredible, and the response has been amazing. It is organic maple syrup, cotton candy. So no colors, no additives. Everything is pure and raw, and we have it down to a science of the mixture to get the best taste. And so we have it in about 20 different flavors. Maple is the most popular. Blueberry maple is second.
Really?
But then we've got others behind it, yeah.
Huh, and that's very interesting.
We were offered $35,000 the very first day in business for the business.
How do you patent that?
Well, there's...
What do you patent? You patent the con?
The recipes that we have, because they are down to a science. And so the reason we're franchising it is because there's things that we've learned through trial and error, like machines that will burn up because this is a raw product. And so machines will actually catch fire. So you got to know certain things.
Good Lord.
And, yeah.
Should you
and
be saying this on the air? The machine catch fire? I don't know. It doesn't sound like a selling point
well,
for me.
Well, that's why you don't want to make it on your own, for sure. And you either want to find one of our franchisees or... But we're going to sell it under $40,000 a franchise to the first 20 people. Then it's going to jump up about $10,000 for the lowest franchise. And there is going to be statewide ability to sell versus nationwide versus international. So, and then, of course, putting it in stores and things like Mrs. Fields Cookies. This is going to be huge. Even here in Miami, the food inspectors and the licensed people that come around are just absolutely wowed, and we are double, triple, quadruple booked. We cannot get to enough events. We've had parents come to us and say, hey, I'm having a party for my kids. Can we give you this? And you produce enough for this many kids. And we've got all kinds of locations and events and fairs. Yeah, no, it's really fun. And, you know, the website is still in the works, and that's why the franchises are at a lower price right now. But that includes all the equipment and the how-tos and video tutorials. And
well, let me ask you a question, because as an old cotton candy maker myself, I loved it, by the way. But I'll tell you the really cool thing about See's candies and cotton candy and stuff like that is when people give you free rein and let you have as much as you want, you only really want it for a day or so, and then you're done.
Yeah.
It is good. So they always let us have whatever we wanted. I used to make candied apples, too, and I just loved making candied apples with cinnamon
them.
On them. But here's the deal, that when we would do the cotton candy, we were by the ocean. Now, that cotton candy didn't last long before it started collapsing. Now, I was wondering, has that changed?
The humidity gets to it, but we make it fresh and on the spot. We don't bag it ahead of time, although we do have a couple stores that have now picked it up, a couple little markets.
So they actually are able to keep it for more than, you know, like 20 minutes?
Yeah, because that's air-conditioned. But if you're in the outdoors, the humidity will get to it. It'll last a few hours, but then it'll start to, you know, almost...
Starts to get sticky.
Yeah. So we make it fresh and on the spot. They're literally walking away with the cone.
Yeah.
Eating it that minute. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. We used to pour... We used to have a thing that looked like a big donut. And then And then in the center, there was a motor, and then we would mix up the mixture of the cinnamon and the sugar, and we would pour it in that center thing, and then it would start to spin it out, and then we would twirl the stick in it. Is that how it still works?
Yes, except because this particular product is organic, and it's the raw product, and it has to be mixed a certain way, they've actually had to, because it does burn up machines, they've had to create and patent or trademark a couple different machines just to keep the fires from happening, because it's such a raw form product. And boy, does it taste good! And parents love it because you know, their kids aren't getting the colored dyes and they're getting organic products. Yeah.
So where did this come? Where did this idea come from?
Just going to different produce markets and seeing what sells and what doesn't. We didn't particularly see this product, but just seeing everything in an organic form and seeing cotton candy was never, it was always in the red and blue, and you got the dyes and you got this and that.
Right.
And then we ate a product, not cotton candy, but something else that was maple syrup. We thought, wow, wouldn't this be great?
Well, I wonder what would happen if we did that.
Yeah.
So, is that inspiration? Would you call that inspiration?
Yeah, for sure.
You were inspired by your surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To put together something that hadn't been put together before.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't exist as far as we know.
Yeah.
We've looked up all kinds of things online, candy stores, everything else, and this is a product that doesn't stay long on the shelf. It's got to get eaten right away.
So when you had that, I'm guiding you gently. Can you feel it?
Mm-hmm, I do.
There's an intuitive thing that's happening here. There's something that allows Randy and her partner to access possibility, okay? What we're talking about here is possibility. What we're also talking about here is prayer. In the context of this program. So when you take a look at prayer and it's go out and get that which is yours, then Randy's actually is engaged in an active prayer, wouldn't you say? Or would you?
Oh, for sure, yes.
Now, you might not have thought of it that way, but when you take and you think, I'm actually in an active act of going out and getting that which is mine. And you know how it's yours because the same way she knew how it's yours, you start to say, well, what would happen here? Now, this is a higher frequency. And one of the things that you notice in all of the churches that you travel in is that they're built to have you look up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the secret, by the way. The secret of where the higher frequency is, whether you're a Buddhist or a Christian or a Muslim, is for you to look up and be inspired by something. So anytime you are, you're actually in an act, an undeclared prayer.
Let me say something about that, because I think that another way of looking at exactly what you're saying, Val, is this. When people hear going out and getting what is mine, I mean, it can bring different things to you know, people may have different images of what it is that you're trying to say, but I think another way of looking at it is that a lot of folks are, you know, what is the proverbial thing of trying to go up the river instead of flowing with the stream? That, you know, what is yours is doing what really resonates with you. I know that term resonate is used a lot. It's become pretty trivial, or trite, rather, and cliche, but really, a lot of us are, you know, function in a world where we're taught that, well, this is what we should be doing. These are the goals that we should be going after. And I think that there may be a turning point where more and more youth are looking at not that as the paradigm that they want to follow, but what they feel intrinsically motivated to pursue. And
yes,
that's what you're talking about.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. And it's not me talking about it. You can read the translation if you pick up an Aramaic thing. The Aramaic translation has to trap or capture that which is yours. So we're talking about essence of the soul here.
Exactly.
You know, this is a soul conversation. And if we live our lives in context of our souls and know that within the context of our souls there exist different ways of accessing soul, and I'm sure the Aborigines have their way of accessing soul. You know, it's like we're all looking up, or we're all looking in. We look to a higher power and within ourselves that we feel within ourselves. And what we know is that everybody's got that power. Problem is a lot of us have forgotten, and now we're remembering. And that's what Waking Up in America was all about. It's like wake up to your soul. What the direction of your soul is. Now, I didn't want to make the program just a spiritual program in that context. I thought it would limit the audience, because I do believe that what did they say, Lewis? I think they say something like, of all the people on the planet, our cellular structure, that the difference between them, or maybe you know, Randy, is something like less than 1%. Have you heard that?
Well, that's actually true. It's much less than that. Absolutely. We are, you know, we are the same, and certainly at a deeper level than and that's getting back to the concept of religion that that, you know, we started out with. So the corporate thing, you know, getting together with people of like mind, if you will, can be very, very valuable and can be, you know, can give us a big boost. But it, I guess what I'd like to say is I don't believe that it takes the place of the inner search. And that's the thing that I think is often lacking. And so,
you're right.
You know, and you want to find out what it is that is yours and what you should be doing with your life. And I know that's a big question for so many people, and yet I think growing up in our society, certainly in Western society, certainly in the U.S., that's a question that people often don't ask until fairly late in life because of this sort of treadmill that we're placed on, you know, almost immediately after we're out of the womb. So that's really what you're getting at, and that's, I think, where each of us needs to spend more time, you know, doing a little contemplative exercise every day, getting, you know, getting in touch with what's going on inside.
Yeah, and contemplative can be reading the Bible, by the way, so don't think we're ruling that out. It's not a ruling out. However your way is of getting to what matters to you, what's in your heart, and what's in your soul, that's the way to go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to make somebody else do it. You know, the thing that's disturbed me the most is that religion's trying to force themselves on other people. That's disturbed me. I think we should be open and guiding and respectful. I never did tell you what my favorite church was. Really, how's it? Guess. Take a guess. What do you think my favorite? Well, two. I actually have two favorites.
Well, you did say something about the was it the Greek? What did you say?
They weren't my favorite, trust me.
Okay.
My favorites actually were the Reverend Pearl Lady Moore, who was Christian Science. And it just made a lot of sense to me. And by the way, if you went to Sunday school and you were in Sunday school every single Sunday, they would give you a Bible. And my parents wanted to go on vacation, and I locked myself in my room and said I wasn't going because I wanted my Bible, and I was going to stay and get my Bible. Okay, and I have that Bible still. It's a little, it's been through a bit. But that's my Bible. Anyway,
you're a rebel,
a lot
now. I love it.
Short. That's why I said my mom had her hands full. So there I was, locked in my bedroom. I could hear my mother calling the Science of Mind Church and telling the teacher that I wouldn't go on vacation until unless I got my Bible. So they cleared that up, and then I went. I want you to know something. When you're right, and I was right, there was no reason I should be denied my Bible after 51 things when it looked like it was out of my control. I said, don't worry, I can feed myself. You don't have to worry about this. Anyway, Science of Mind Church, got my Bible there. The Black Baptists were definitely my favorite.
Huh.
Why do you think?
Huge enthusiasm.
They sing. They praise in song. And when that whole place, I reached whatever you want to reach. I reached Nirvana at the foot of Buddha. Or not, I'm probably Bodhisattva. I reached a extended state. I reached a place I wanted to reach at the foot of Buddha. The platform at Lantau Island, when you stand on it and you talk to Buddha, that your words vibrate through your entire body. And here is this huge, the tallest seated Buddha in the world, like 300 plus steps up from you, and you're standing on this disc talking to Buddha. That was profound. The Black Baptist. I'm not saying that the church itself, I don't know that much about the Baptist church. What I do know about is being, there were three of us, we were white, and there was about 300 black people, and they were singing their hearts out, and we were singing with them, and it was one of the most moving moments of my entire life. So you get it where you get it, and I suggest that you go looking. So looking and finding out what calls your name. Okay, I love St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Santa Monica. It's a very different church than the other Lutheran church that I was married in, and I loved the pastor of that church and his wife and sang in the choir and did all of that stuff. So I like St. Paul's. It's a good place, and it fits my picture. And the pastor is married, and that's what the Lutherans get to marry, too. It's the Catholics that went off the deep end somewhere. So, you know, I hope this conversation has opened up some for some of you. You know, be in the conversation. See what's important. See how many people in your family even care about whether they have a soul or not, or even know. What have you gotten out of what we've been doing here today, Lewis, for yourself?
What have I gotten for myself? Well, gosh, you know, this is an important focus for me in general. I was simply trying to give an overview of how I spend my day, and that starts with a bit of a contemplative exercise, because without it, I feel like my day is shattered.
Yeah.
So it gives me a bit of focus or a bit of a reprieve, you know, from all of the things that one will encounter, and it gives one an opportunity to view day-to-day events a little bit differently. The idea ultimately is to be able to be in the eye of the hurricane, because that's what, for many of us, the day might be like. You never know
yes,
what kind of
totally.
Hurricane you're going to encounter, and you really want to ultimately be in the center of that thing where it's calm. So I think a contemplative exercise and a focus on what's important to you, truly important, not what someone has said is important for you, can give you that. And so it's strategy in a way.
So I start my day with, I played the flute. I knew one song on the flute. And it was written by Maitreya Stillwater, and I heard it in the Hawaiian Islands in his church when I was there. And it's, Master, come to me, teach me how to see. You know who I am so well. And that's me talking to Jesus. That's how I happen to do my prayer. And there's a really cool tarot deck that came out years ago by Bhagwan Rajneesh, and it's individual cards that represent something. Okay, and one of them is a card that represents a man criticizing a man for the way he's praying. He's not praying like he, quote, should be praying, according to the man. And the card is about letting people pray in a way that means something to them. So you can call Lewis does a prayer. You can call what I do a prayer. They are to us. It's how we set ourselves up for the day, what we align with. Randy, I'm curious, do you have a practice that you include in the morning for putting yourself in the place you want to be?
That's kind of funny. I really don't. I mean, my passions are, you know, the law and the cutting-edge news, things that don't make mainstream. So I start off my day reading those fascinating stories that are out there that don't hit the mainstream. And, you know, I'm simple. Coffee or a little Kayani sunrise with the protein.
Yeah,
I'm just simple. I don't really have a routine. My days are all different, and I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants.
But do you start your day reading the stories?
Yeah, most of them.
Okay, that's your avenue. Now I want you to expand your awareness of what you're doing when you read the stories. You're connecting with other people and what they've
That's
gone
true.
Through. You're putting yourself into the community of the world. Okay? And you're getting so see, she didn't even know she's doing this, but notice she does it. And she happens to do this and drink coffee when she's doing it. And I'm saying that Randy is connecting when she does this. And I
no
want
question.
You to each pardon?
I said, no question.
Yeah, so I
Absolutely.
Want each of you to look into your lives and see if there isn't a place that you're receiving connection or inspiration or whatever, and then I want you to consider that what you're doing is praying. So that's a possibility here. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media. Our radio partner is ConingCompany.com. Dr. James Murphy, Guru Mai, John Denver, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, In Memoriam, and DrValerie.com, and Doctor is all spelled out. And we want to thank our producers and sponsors. And big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Finard, Nathan Jett, Brad Comer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, DeMont, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, oh, and our dear Ron Simon, and to John Young at Totally Gospel. A big thanks to all the airtime you've given us and the friendship over the years, and a big thanks to John Thomas, our webmaster, and merci beaucoup to Bent Mikan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. And next week, invite a friend to listen, and remember, do a mitzvah today, give someone a boost. We love you. Thanks.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.